Okay, we may begin. Greg, if you would.
I'm Greg Edwards.
I'm Greg Edwards, outgoing chair of the Mount Pleasant Advisory Neighborhood Commission, observing a quorum consisting of Jack McKay, currently secretary, Dave Wasserman, currently vice chair, and our newest commissioner, Oliver Tunda. And welcome to the about 25 or 30 people that have come for our public discussion period. Our first item on the agenda is the public discussion period. It is now 10 after 7. And typically we try to go in order
Greg,
yes.
Just as a technicality, do you want to go proceed with the appointment of Oliver just to make sure that that is done and he is formally seated as a commissioner?
Sure. If the commission permits, we can do this as a consent item.
Yes.
It's online too.
I think all we need is this A and C 1D here.
Yes, I had a little shorter one, but anyway.
To fill the vacancy in 1D, you'll do for the remainder of the term.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 3-0, you're voting?
No, he cannot vote yet.
Yes, he
three,
can,
well,
according to the AG ruling.
Anyway.
But just to make sure, it's 3-0 with one contested. Jack contests his vote, you are hereby appointed as a commissioner for ANC 1D's single-member District 2. Okay, now we may proceed with the commission willing with the public discussion. Let me remind you that individuals are allocated 3 minutes, and those with pre-approved testimony by their board would like to see it in writing, if possible, are allocated 5. Sir, would you like to start off?
Well, the reason I came is I saw that the ANC...
First, identify yourself for the record.
Sure. I'm Dana Keening, 1726 Park Road. Lived there for 20 years. The reason I'm here is I saw that you guys were going to withdraw your protest about the agreements with those 4 restaurants. And I'm here to say I applaud your doing that. I think it was wrong in the first place, but I'm happy to see you guys pulling back and letting those guys run their businesses. So that's why I'm here. I think it's the right thing to do. I'm glad to see you're doing it. That's the major reason I'm here.
Thank you. Laurie Collins.
Hi, my name is Laurie Collins, and I am here to also support the 4 restaurants being protested, supporting them, requesting you to drop your protests against the 4 restaurants.
Jeremy.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Pollack. I'm one of the owners of Tonic and Radius Restaurant, and I am also here asking that you drop the protests for the 4 businesses in Mount Pleasant. Thank you.
Ma'am, do you not wish to say anything? Okay, then.
Hi, Claudia Schlossberg for here Mount Pleasant. We have been on the record for a long time in support of dropping, first of all, asking you not to protest and then supporting dropping the protests on the 4 restaurants that have not sought to terminate their MPNA agreements. I just also want to say that we are, here Mount Pleasant is doing outreach, neighbor to neighbor. I have some cards and fact sheets, and if anybody is interested in talking to us, setting up a time outside of the ANC, I'm happy to talk to you at the break after the meeting.
You got a little out of order because we're trying to move in a file, but
they declined.
They decline. Okay. Don Jaime, would you take the microphone, please? No, we try to do it in order so that we. Yeah. Do you not then wish to speak now?
Not at this moment.
Okay.
I'm Heidi from Heidi's Restaurant and for United Business. I heard Lori and the business owners want to drop the protest from those four business. Something you can negotiate, and at the same time, I will ask you if they can allow to have live music in other three business. And I'm support Rump also at the same time in Hillman Pleasant. I consider they have a great ideas for the business owners and for the community, for the neighbors.
Thank you so much. Mario? Then. Anyone else? Dora? We have... So so I guess this concludes the public discussion period. We can proceed. Jane Zara is joining us at 7:16. The treasurer, the current treasurer. Can we take care of the letter? Get up to speed. Can we take care of these things like the approve the secretary's minutes?
Yes. For the record, I just wanted to point out the time is 7:16.
I did.
Greg, I have a comment.
Yes.
This is kudos to Jane Zara for her pro bono work and her success on the Benning Library Project, with the added benefit to this ANC that the Superior Court ordered the mayor to start complying with the ANC statute about the Benning Library case.
I have to warn that the government now has to comply with the statute, and we're expecting that from the behavior of the government so far. They might try to do the least amount to comply with the standard to erode compliance with this statute. So we're gathering evidence from the community where there's a disparity between the needs and concerns of the community and the perfunctory meetings that the city has been having about the libraries. So the issue's not dead. We just hope it doesn't weaken us in a substantive way while bolstering us procedurally right now. So,
along those lines, may I mention that the ABC board has decided, after a third of a century of not compliance with the ANC law, to start to acknowledge and respond to ANC resolutions. They have acknowledged and have promised in a few weeks to start to actually respond. So we're making progress across the
city. And I think that was due to Greg's testimony at the various hearings.
Thank you. I had a meeting with Pete Feather and the General Counsel, and they were asking, well, what do you actually mean by Great White? which has got into a very interesting discussion. The Secretary's minutes... do you have any corrections? Are there any corrections, Jack?
Yeah. Let me check. There we go. I distributed the December meeting minutes in December, and just need to know the minutes of the December 4 meeting. Are there any corrections for the minutes of the December 4 meeting?
Seeing none, the chair rules them accepted. Then if we can go back, I'm more familiar with my version because it also includes some last-minute things. Thank you. The Secretary's report?
Well, that was it.
Excuse me, the Treasurer's report.
Aha.
I really don't have much to say beyond what was said at the last meeting, except I got a communication from the government saying that we have to say who the new officers are. I think, is that the treasurer's duty? I'm not sure. And I just came from work, so I didn't bring the letter.
That'll be mine. But I did want to point out that one of our quarterly allotments did show up on the 4th of January, adding $5,000 plus to our bank account. It's still not clear to me where we stand in terms of those allotments, since we hadn't received one since last May. So from May to January, we got nothing from the government. I'd certainly like to have that clarified, if you could follow up on that sometime.
Again, so that we can still settle ourselves in, may we move to the consent agenda, and I find that I have left off one item that which is associated really with the treasurer's report, and that is that I think we need to approve immediately Jack's resolution for a $25 payment to the security fund.
Yeah, I believe this is just a standard annual requirement.
Yes.
That we have to approve $25 to the security fund.
And it seems like we may have consent on other items. I've added
If we could go ahead and deal with that one.
Okay.
Just get it out of the way. Resolve that ANC-1D approves 1D's participation in the Advisory Neighborhood Commission Security Fund and authorizes payment of the $20 fee for the period January 1, 2008 through December 31, 2008. The chairperson and the secretary are authorized to execute the security fund agreement.
Is there a second? Jane seconds. All in favor?
Well, I had a question, and probably everybody in the audience doesn't know what this $25 gives us.
It means that we don't have to put up a security bond in order to spend any money.
Suffice it to say that we are required to do this, and it doesn't do us any good. This is a bond to protect the people from whom we purchase things in case we don't pay them. So it's just suffice it to say that we've got to do this, and $25 is a token amount, so let's just go ahead and do it.
So does that, do we have, is that, do you change your vote to yes?
We haven't had a vote yet.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
It's 5-0, and it passes unanimously. And this is perhaps the way we ought to handle the consent items, is just to move them by one and explain them and see if we can do it in less than a minute. One item I would like is approval of $35 reimbursement. It's already in the budget for my attending the ULI conference on workforce housing, December the 12th, I believe it was.
So this is an ex post facto approval?
Yes.
I will move approval of that, though. It's problematical doing things after the fact.
Well, sometimes this popped up at the last moment when they opened it to new members, and so I didn't know about it ahead of time.
Need a second to the motion.
Meetings, the chair can also move, and so I take yours as a second. All in favor? Oliver, do you vote? You can abstain.
Pick up the microphone, yes. Please, Oliver. Oliver, if you can, so that everything is recorded. And be sure the switch is turned on.
I'm still new, and this is my first ANC meeting.
Fine.
Just trying to see how things are conducted and...
Okay, so you abstain?
I abstain.
Okay, yeah. So it is passed 4-0 with one abstention. Another sort of housekeeping item is continuation of standing committees from the past several years.
Let me get a little detail on that, because people might want to know what the standing committees are. Those are the current standing committees. So your motion is to approve the continuation of
yes.
Those standing committees.
Yes. Jack, do you second? Will you second then?
I will second.
Okay. Yes?
I was wondering how we go about forming more committees, like an education committee and other committees. How does that happen here? You come with a resolution for other... Because who are on the commercial corridor planning consultation web and internet coordination committees? I'm just wondering who...
Well, the current lineup is three on the commercial corridor committee. That is Dave Bosserman, Stormy Scott, and myself, because our districts overlap the commercial corridor. The Planning and Consultation Committee, I volunteered for it, and no one else volunteered. I tried all year to twist Dave's tail for it. The Web and Internet Committee was originally two, Joe Esparza and myself, and it has been quite active, keeping up the website. Public Safety and Security Committee was Jack and myself, and we've had quite a few discussions with the police and tried to maintain things. And there's a lot that we could report if people were interested about how things are going. So all of them except the Planning and Consultation Committee have been active, and you could say that Planning and Consultation have been active because Jack and I, once we reconciled at the beginning of the year, and started to try to work together, we have been consulting with commissioners and preparing agendas and so on. So all of them have been pretty active. Some of them have not had meetings recently because, in fact, we've been quite active.
What does the Planning and Consultation Committee do? I'm not really aware of what it does.
Well, it was set up to plan for long-term agenda items and to see if we could publicize them. And it has been reduced to simply... Jack has been most active in keeping discussion among commissioners going on issues. And he and I have consulted from time to time about that. But mostly he has been the de facto head of that and has done a marvelous job.
You mean ANCs other than ours or ANCs within our ANC? Do you mean other ANCs citywide?
No, within our ANC.
Oh, okay. So what's the process of forming new permanent committees?
They are proposed at this time. And we can have ad hoc committees throughout the year.
And what's the difference between an ad hoc and, I mean, what are the benefits of a permanent committee versus an ad hoc, or a standing committee versus an ad hoc committee?
By the way, this is in keeping with a resolution we passed that we would discuss these items as they came up. An ad hoc committee ceases to exist when its task is done. So an ad hoc committee is set up for a particular purpose, you know, for instance, to run a public meeting, and once it has completed that, well, then it ceases to exist.
But in terms of funding or whatever, are there any benefits
No.
to having permanent committees?
Well, there are some benefits, and that is that then you don't have to vote to form them and worry about the constitution of them and so on because they're already there. And it also allows people on the outside the commission, then if they want to talk to someone, we have some division of, we have some people that have agreed to actually put energy into it and try to keep them going. But I propose that all these, essentially all of them, came up as ad hoc committees first. And then we made them, after trying them out, made them into permanent committees over time. And that may be a way to allow the evolution of the committee system.
I would like to propose the formation of an education committee. I know the Columbia Heights has one. They're quite active. And as a matter of fact, non-commissioners and former commissioners are also part of it. I think it's a viable thing. We have a school in our ANC that I think it would behoove us, and we could have public education on a lot of issues. I've been approached by constituents about numerous issues, including, and we talked about it before, the you know, housing debacle, affordable housing, and I would really like to see more interaction between this ANC and Bancroft School and more support. We have a lot of money and we have a lot of resources that I think we could more actively contribute and interact with them. So I'm proposing an education committee.
I would presume that Jane is also volunteering to run this committee.
Is there a second?
On that basis, I'll second the motion.
Is that committee going to be a temporary committee or a permanent committee?
Well, my suggestion had been that we start things up as temporary committees and then later convert them after they've shown some success to standing committees. But
well, since some of the committees are quasi-dormant that are permanent committees, and I don't see the need for education, either public education or supportive formal education resources in the neighborhood declining, that need declining, I submit that it should be a permanent committee.
Okay. As part of the discussion, let me say that are you aware that there is a there has been formed out of Mount Pleasant a group called the of over 60 educational programs within a half mile of here.
No, I wasn't
aware. That is attempting to is pretty active in attempting to handle many of the issues that you've discussed.
Are you talking about the school modernization campaign? Or
no, it was called LAMP. It's called the Learning Alliance for More Progress, and it has had quite a few meetings.
I've never heard of that, but that really isn't the issue here.
No, understood. So it's time. Is there any more discussion? Seeing none, let's call for a vote. Jack?
This is a vote on the formation of, on the addition of public education as a standing committee.
Yes.
I will vote yes.
And I vote no, so it's 4-1. The next short item is the schedule for the year.
Well, no, beg pardon. You haven't passed the resolution concerning the other standing committees. We've agreed to add one to the list.
Oh, I see.
But not continue those existing.
That was an amendment, sorry. The all in favor of the current list, say aye. It's 5-0. It is now 7:32. And I think we can quickly take care of the schedule for the year. Jack, that was your resolution. Would you care to read it?
Okay, this is my attempt to try to meet a number of objectives. The regular monthly meetings of ANC-UND will, unless special conditions favor a change, be held on the first Tuesday of each month, namely, and the list following of the first Tuesdays. Any of these dates may be revised to suit special situations, e.g., topics of such widespread interest that a weekend meeting is desirable, or commissioners' travel schedules conflicting with the normal date. Second monthly meetings will be scheduled for the third Tuesday of each month. Ordinarily, these meetings will be informal meetings with the public for increased dialogue with residents of Mount Pleasant. These second monthly meetings may be committee meetings. If there is pressing business that cannot wait until the regular monthly meeting, the second monthly meeting may be a formal business meeting. That's my proposal for a schedule of meetings for the year.
And just further to get things going, I'll second it. Any discussion?
Yeah, I have a couple questions. These second meetings, are these meetings we have to poster?
If they are not business meetings, they would not have to be postered. They would have to be postered if we intended to transact formal business.
If we decide not to have a second meeting in any particular month, do we have to do anything?
No, we do not.
The this idea came from Gottlieb Simon, who said that he recommends that ANCs keep a second slot on their schedule so that for matters arising that...
So if we do not have a second meeting in any given month, we don't have to do anything.
That's correct. Jack, would you take as a friendly amendment something we did last year, which is to add the second Tuesday of January so that as a meeting so that, for 2009?
Technically, the DC code calls only for a list of the meetings this year.
Yes, but it was useful to have had that already put in.
Very well. What is the second Tuesday? It will be the first Tuesday or the second Tuesday in January next year?
Given the fact that we've had so many travel schedules on the first Tuesday, I'd like to suggest the second. We could just put that down the second Tuesday and figure it out later, unless somebody in the audience has a calendar that will help us out. Yes.
Okay. Because you said you didn't have to do anything. I just wanted to clarify. You have to tell us if you're going to meet or not, right?
Yes.
Okay. To clarify your question, post that we're having it or not having it?
Yeah, if you go either. I mean, it's scheduled, right? It's a scheduled meeting.
No, it's...
It's a second scheduled
meeting. Oh, it's... De facto, it'll occur.
So it's not going to happen. If it's going to happen, you discuss business, tell us the business items. If it's not going to happen, tell us it's not going to happen. That's all.
Yeah, let me be clear on that. If it's an informal meeting where we are simply having informal discussions, it will be announced via the regular procedures online mainly, but we won't have to put up posters. If it is a second business meeting where we expect to transact formal business, then we are required to do postering. That's the principal difference.
Yes.
If you're not going to do it, you'll through the internet, you'll tell us that.
You will always hear it on the internet.
Okay.
Always. Sure. Whether it's, you know, whether it's a formal business meeting or an informal meeting, it will be announced on Mount Pleasant Forum. Okay, here is the January 2009 calendar. So the first Tuesday would be the 6th. I personally don't see a problem with having it January 6th.
Fine. I just suggest that in case things occur,
well,
let's just put it down. It was useful for the last couple of years. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, let's call the vote. All in favor?
Yeah, the state. It's 2009.
2000.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Now with the friendly amendment, thank you. All in favor.
Mr. Eagle Eye there in the audience.
All in favor of the schedule, say it's 5-0. It's 38 minutes after the hour. I think we're probably ready. Is there anything else that I'd listed on the consent items? Just to get some of the stuff out of the way, because if you don't do it... Go ahead, Jack.
We had Albert here helping us with the setup. I want to be sure that we are authorized to pay him $50 for the setup today.
Okay. Shall we make that? Because we have to, as Lori Collins has pointed out to us, we need to pass a personal services resolution naming the person in order to do this. So shall we do this on an ongoing basis, that pay him $50 for... setting and striking the meeting.
This will be an authorization for $50 to Albert Rodriguez.
Morrell.
Varela. Thank you. For each meeting at which he helps with the setup.
Yes. And eventually I hope he will be competent to take care of the whole thing.
He's coming up to speed very rapidly. Good. And I'm hoping that very shortly he will be able to do this and I can be absent.
Well, while you're phrasing this, could we go ahead and vote on it? And
This is an authorization for $50 to Albert for sit-up continuing through the year, for the year 2008.
Okay. Yes, David. Let's discuss it. Yes. What? Ah, so you will write this while we're voting. All in favor of this proposal? It's 5-0. It's now 40 minutes after the hour. Let me see. I think that's... I also proposed, there is a written statement that I'd sent out, that we not carry on our draft agenda books any items that had been presented or listed before December 1st of 2007, because there's some that have been carried now with no activity on them for well over a year. It just confuses everybody that to see these things as though they were going to come up at the next meeting. And the idea is that they can certainly come up anytime anyone wants to put them on the agenda. Do I hear a second for that?
I'll second that.
Okay, all in favor?
I'm sorry, I was busy. Yeah. So briefly, what are you...
It's listed under...
Purging the list.
Purging the new business list?
And the old... the draft agenda list.
Purge.
Why don't we go to the... There's a draft... There is an actual statement under... Clean slate of all prior...
Okay, what you're purging the unfinished business list.
Well, it is all agenda items that were submitted before for 1 December 2007. Most of them are mine, Jack.
Well, I understand that. I'm just confused why it isn't just new business or unfinished business.
Well, some of them never got... Well, I just say all of them. I just thought it would be simpler to understand for all of them. You're welcome to make a further refinement of it, but...
Well, I agree with you in principle. Let's just take a look at what there is. There's the issue of Lamont Park.
Yes.
Curbside parking auctions.
Yes.
Schedule of public events. Policy of facades. Responsible hospitality initiative. This guy named Greg seems to be attached to all of them. And your last fragment on alley and courtyard development. So those are the...
Well, there are a bunch more. Historic district legislation.
Historic district legislation.
Commendations, bylaws, amendments.
No. Those never made it as motions. Therefore, they are not unfinished business. And therefore, we're free to ignore them forever.
I am asking actually to be empowered that you and I, when we do the website or you do this list, not have
I
to
see
carry
what you
them.
Mean. You don't want to carry around this list. I agree with that.
Okay. So
I agree with that.
So
clean slate. Clean slate for 2008.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. So I've formulated it, sent it around by email, and can we... It sounds like we have, this is a consent item. Can I see the hands for all that would like to clean slate? It's 5-0, and it's 44 minutes after the hour. I think that concludes the consent agenda. And now the moment we've all been waiting for, I suggest we go for an election of officers. Let me say that I have a proposed slate of officers.
Well, let's
start discussion.
Yeah, let's have a discussion about officers in general. I think that'd be a good idea.
My proposed slate is Oliver Tunda, as I had a good friend by the name of Torda. Tunda as chair, myself as vice chair, Jack as secretary, and Jane as treasurer.
Are they nominations? Or?
At this point, it's just discussion, not yet a nomination, because we have to do the nominations in a specific sequence.
Okay.
So, but I would like to hear what people think of that general slate. Oliver, for example, what do you think of the situation?
I think I'm still a new person coming in, and I would like to have more time actually to know how the system works. And I think becoming the chair would be too much for me, so I would rather be just a member and watch how the meetings are conducted.
Oliver, can we prevail on you with the idea that we would back you up? You can always turn to Jack and me for anything, because I think we need to get you up to speed. You've been the president of a very contentious group, the Sudanese Association. They're, for God's sake, they have a civil war going.
Let's continue if we can.
I understand that, but I think I would rather just be an ordinary member and learn more about ANC and learn more about how meetings are conducted before actually committing myself to be a chair.
Then as an
Greg, let's continue ahead. With the
yes, sure.
You
can't just
dominate. I have a question. Why is it that, is it the law of the city that before, you know, new people, everybody comes in, the first meeting ever, we have to elect officers? It just seems like a
stupid
process.
This is the DC code. I'm sorry. I'm not happy with this either, but the DC code says this is what we have to do.
We should try to get that changed, really. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
Welcome to the DC government.
I like Jack's idea of then putting in Stormy Scott as the chair.
If people aren't here to accept nominations, they can't. And I think you're abusing the chair position as sort of a lobbying position for who you want to install as leaders.
Then
this is supposed to be a democratic
process. Then let's continue the going around the room. You have suggestions, Jane?
Suggestions meaning nominations or suggestions?
No, just we're having an open discussion now, as Jack points out.
I'm concerned that whoever becomes the chair will, I think we have to return to defining what the role of the chair is, and it's that they mediate the meetings and they don't have any more weight than that as mediators. Correct me if I'm wrong, but what I saw in my brief history serving as a commissioner is there was a lot of gray area as to how much power can be asserted by a chair depending on the issue. So I want to suggest that we try to keep that at bay, and whoever becomes the chair will adhere to that. And I think Jack's a great secretary. I know he takes on the bulk of the work for the whole commission, for our ANC, and I hope he continues. And that's not out of sadism; it's out of, you know, the health of the ANC. And actually, I think I nominated Dave Bosserman last year, and I'm going to nominate him this year. I think he has enough experience, and he's fair-minded, and tries to allow the powers to be balanced in the commission, and pays attention to the thoughts and interests of his constituents, which I'm not saying we don't do, but I think he's particularly conscientious about that. So I think he'd make a great chair.
Has anyone talk to Stormy about this possibility?
I have.
And?
She can be prevailed on to be a vice chair. And let me be frank, what I had in mind was for us to give ourselves a month to come up with further discussion on this, because I think that if we elected her as chair, she would thank us for the honor. It's been very useful to her in her dealing with the housing authority, but she would probably resign and we would have a new election next month. So this would serve Jane's point and would allow us to continue.
Wait a minute. If the law says we have to do it tonight, then we have to do it tonight. And if someone's not here to accept a nomination, I'm not clear that they can be voted in.
Yes, they can.
Is that true? So you can vote for someone who's...
Let's continue with the discussion, if we could.
Yes.
Dave, would you have more to say?
Well, Jane has just assumed the treasuryship, and I'm not sure if she wants to continue it or not.
I guess it depends on whether Jack will help me, as he's been helping me, and it's actually been an enjoyable... I mean, even though it's... No, it has. I mean, Jack's made it enjoyable because he's good, you know, like that. But if someone else would like to do it, I wouldn't be offended. So, but I'll continue to do it with.
I will twist your arm if you like to continue as treasurer. Yes, please. Dave, what do you think of who would you like to see as chair?
Someone else.
This is the problem we face, and I've been wrestling with this quite a bit. I think I really don't want to be chair. I was chair for a while. It was an awful experience. I really don't care to repeat that. I don't think either Greg or I should be chair. And the reason is...
I've already declared I would not be.
The reason is, if you will allow me to have the floor,
yes,
Mr. Chair, the reason is that Greg and I seem to be the sources of most of the resolutions that come up. And we should not be chairing the discussions of our own resolutions. We really need a neutral party in charge. You recall that, as Jane said, the function of the chair is to preside over the meetings, and that is really all. According to the DC code, the chair presides over the meetings, period. So what you want is a neutral party. And that's why I think both Greg and I should step aside and let somebody else do it. Now, I think Jane is going to be treasurer, and that's wonderful. I'm happy to continue as secretary. Stormy would be wonderful, but she has health issues and misses a lot of meetings. Dave has already indicated that he's not really enthusiastic about being chair either. And that leaves Oliver. Now, I recognize the difficulty in having somebody who is fresh and new and isn't familiar with our procedures attempting to be chair, which is why I would like to see a transition period where someone else would actually chair the first few meetings. But then as soon as Oliver is up to speed, that Oliver would take over as the chair because he is in a position of marvelous neutrality. I think there's a lot to be said for that. And all you need for being a chair is some knowledge of parliamentary procedure. And I understand that maybe perhaps you've encountered this before. And a sense of fairness. And I think Oliver would be excellent at this. And then, to my mind, the only issue is how do we arrange for a transition period so that we have a few months where he is a chair trainee, and then in due course he takes over as chair. I hope that we could have Stormy for that, but as you can tell tonight, she's just not reliable. So maybe what we want is to have Greg continue. Greg is vice chair, but Greg then as to function as the chair for a couple of meetings until Oliver is comfortable with it. I'm struggling here, as you can tell, struggling, trying to find a way to get Oliver up to speed so that Oliver can be the chair and relieve the rest of us of this burden.
Again, I'm really expressing my concerns that, you know, as a new person, I wouldn't want to be the chair. I'd rather be just an ordinary member while studying how how procedures are conducted. But yeah, I hope you understand my position too. You know, this is what I'm saying. Being a new person, it'll be
if I may speak. I have some serious personal problems that where I can, I'm going to have to pull back some of my activities. But Oliver, if you took the chair, you get to choose who will preside over a meeting. And so, in the sense of fairness, then you could decide who would be, and you could rotate it. That's something that we've tried to do before. So I urge that you take the title of it, and then you simply designate someone that you feel comfortable with or rotate it during a meeting, and until you slowly ease into it.
This is a draft Oliver movement underway.
Yes.
Well, are we through the discussion?
Oliver, please.
Well,
you know you're going to get support from us all.
Support and guidance.
I don't
believe in coercion, even if it's seen as in his benefit.
I think I still stand by what I've said, that, you know, I'm still a new person who is coming in. I would, if anything, maybe be as a vice chair and then watch what the chairman would be doing. Yeah, that's
then
what my position is.
Simply, then I go back to my suggestion that if we make Stormy the chair, then that will give us a month to work things out and discuss it, because we have plenty of business to do tonight, and I think we should take something that satisfies the law and move there.
Can we get on to nominations and voting then?
Yes.
Well, Greg, again, I think you're exerting undue influence as the chair right now to insist that someone who's not here should be chair, in your estimation.
I have a right to speak, and I spoke in turn, so I don't understand why you're saying I'm exercising undue influence.
Greg, don't.
Okay.
Let's not take advance. Let's just try to work this out.
Good. Not as chair, but simply as on an informal basis, I would like to nominate Stormy Scott to be the chair.
Okay.
Are we holding the nominations for chair then? Okay.
Yes.
I nominate Dave Bosserman.
Dave, do you accept the nomination?
Yes.
Okay, nominations appear to be closed. We can move to a vote. Jack, how say you?
I will vote for Stormy Scott.
She's not nominated.
Yes, she is.
Yes, she is.
Yes, she is.
Dave?
I vote for myself.
I vote for Dave.
Oliver?
I abstain.
You, please use the microphone.
Yeah, I think I'm going to abstain.
And I vote for Stormy. So we have 2-2.
We have a procedure. We have a procedure because we have had to cope with this particular situation before. It is awkward not having Stormy here, because our procedure obviously assumed that she would be.
May I ask how many meetings Stormy missed over the last session?
If you don't mind.
Sorry.
The chair has not recognized anyone from the audience at this point.
We're having enough trouble on our own. Yeah.
So do you
We would ordinarily have a round of statements from the candidates at this point and then conduct another vote. And again, the problem here is that we don't have Stormy, so she cannot. Dave, would you like to make another statement?
A statement? Well, this is
with the microphone, please.
This is a new year and a new beginning, and I want to reaffirm, chair or no chair, my intention to listen to everyone in the neighborhood, to take all points of view, to respect all points of view, take them into consideration, and seek solutions that demonstrate our diversity.
Okay, then having heard the all the candidates willing and able to make a statement, the bylaws call for another round of voting. And this time I'll start from the other end of the table. I vote for Stormy. Oliver?
I think I still abstain.
Okay, Jane?
Vote twice for Dave Bosserman. I can break this.
I'll vote for Dave.
I will vote for Stormy Scott.
So by the rules that we have, I believe, help me with this, is Stormy has been around longer, is that it? How do we disambiguate this?
No, it's right there.
Okay.
It's right there.
So the senior person who hasn't accepted
yes.
the nomination will be voted in.
The question we're trying to address here, Dave, did you come in simultaneously with Stormy, or did Stormy precede you?
Stormy preceded.
I got two entirely contradictory answers there.
Well, how many two-year terms has Stormy served?
She was elected in a special election before, so she is the more senior.
She was in a special election before the election.
That's right.
Then by our bylaws, Stormy Scott is elected for the first 6 months, and Dave Bosserman will take the second 6 months of the year.
The chair declares the election having as the Stormy Scott for 1.5 year and Dave Bosserman for 1.5 year. Nominations are in order for vice chair.
I nominate Dave Bosserman. I think you did a good job last time. You were vice chair.
I'm not sure that would work. Because I'm half a chair.
Not for half a year.
You're the chair elect.
No, that's a good point, because the chair cannot hold any other office.
Well, we can have an election when he takes over.
Use the microphone, please.
We can have an election 6 months from now for the vacant office.
I would like to nominate Oliver Tunda.
Oliver, do you accept the nomination for vice chair?
I accept the nomination for vice chair.
Does the vice chair fill in for the chair in the chair's absence?
That's the
yes.
principal duty
okay,
of the vice
so
chair.
Okay, so you're basically
yes.
stepping up to do the duties you wouldn't do as chair. You know that. I mean, this seems like such a...
Accepting the vice chair, in my opinion, I'll have to, of course, learn first from the chairperson. But if the chairperson becomes maybe not present the next day, that is going to be who's going to chair the meetings. That means the vice chair has to do it.
Well, under the circumstances, we would be happy to have you choose any one of us to function as de facto chair for any given meeting if you are uncomfortable with doing it yourself.
Okay, I'll accept that.
Any other nominations? Then so we have one nomination, all in favor of confirming.
I have two nominations.
No?
Oh, did you just decline?
No, it's incompatible with the first election.
Yes.
Not if we have elections after 6 months for the vacant office.
No.
You can't say no. You don't know that the laws don't allow for that.
That would call for a resignation of Dave as chair in order to be vice chair.
At this point?
Use the microphone, please. I think that's a very awkward situation. I think Dave is correct when he says that being half chair is incompatible with him is also being vice chair.
Yeah, I agree. And in order to move things on, the chair rules that this is incompatible. The motion could be made to overrule the ruling of the chair. But otherwise, it holds.
Stormy's the chair now.
Yeah, this is, until the new chair takes over. Yes. Okay. So let's hold. Let's have the vote. All in favor of
Oliver Tunda.
Of Oliver Tunda as the chair.
As the vice chair.
Let's go around the room.
Let's be clear what we're doing here.
Yes.
We are voting on the nomination of Oliver Tunda as vice chair for 2008.
That's correct. Jack, what say you?
Yes.
Dave?
Yes.
I abstain because I think the process at this point is absurd.
Just vote, please.
I abstain.
Just vote.
Okay.
I abstain.
Oliver?
Discussion ceases.
Yes. Greg votes yes, so it's 4-0. Oliver is the new vice chair. Oliver, do you wish to take over?
No, at this moment, I'm not prepared to take over.
Who would you designate to continue in the moment?
Dave. Well, do I have to designate somebody to register that? Can you continue with it?
I will. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, now we move to secretary. In the discussion, there was one nominee put forward. I assume that is Jack McKay will be secretary. Are there any other nominations? Hearing none, let's move on. The motion is to make Jack McKay the secretary for 2008. Jack?
Yes.
Dave?
Yes.
Jane?
Yes.
Oliver?
Yes.
Greg, yes, by acclamation. In the discussion, there was only one name put forward for the treasurer. That was Jane Zara. Let's assume that is the way we stand. Are there any other names for treasurer? Hearing none, we will move forward to the vote. Jack?
Yes.
Dave?
Yes.
Jane?
Yes.
Oliver?
Yes.
Greg, yes. It is 5-0. So we now have a new slate of officers for 2008. Now I would like to ask the indulgence of the commission, since we have Paul Pascal is here, I believe he may have limited time, that we hear from him in accordance with a proposal to... and I think I ask permission to put this so we know what we're talking about on the priority agenda, that in effect we make arrangements of a contract for legal services so that we can have Paul Pascal to provide legal advice for ANC1D's representation in cases before the Alcohol Beverage Control Board. If I may make the motion, Jack, would you be willing to second this for purposes of discussion?
I will second this for the purposes of discussion.
Okay. Will the commission permit then Paul Pascal to discuss things at this point?
I think it would be marvelous if Paul would like to speak to us and explain why he thinks... How can he help us here? I mean, let me introduce Paul Pascal, who has done marvelous work in ABC legislation. He was one of the first lawyers I met down at the ABC board, and I am delighted to see him here.
Could I ask for clarification
first? Welcome to
Mount
Pleasant.
could I ask for, is this that we, the ANC, funds him, or it has to go through?
He will discuss this.
No, there's a question about this.
The chair rules that.
I'll address that.
Yes.
Okay.
So I think I have had the permission of the commission to let him speak now. Or is there any objection to that? Jane, you object?
No, but
okay,
I like
good. So we will proceed.
Good evening. I'm Paul Pascal. Let me introduce my wife is here with me, Brenda. We're both native Washingtonians, and I do have to say, after watching this meeting this evening, we grew up in Washington when there was, of course, no home rule, no democracy in the city, and so coming out to an ANC meeting is always enjoyable for me because I see democracy at its grassroots. And I'm enjoying it because I'm not part of it. So I'm an attorney in Washington, D.C. I've been practicing for 41 years. I've specialized in my whole career representing distributors. I represent most of the food distributors in the Washington region. And in about the last 30 years, I've been representing all the beer, wine, and spirit wholesalers. And so every time you eat out or dine, you're eating food or drinking from one of my clients. And I've had a number of years appearing before the board, including before Ms. Collins. And my practice now is mostly in the area of ABC law. I did participate over the last decade or so helping write some of the laws. And the reason why I cannot represent the ANC is because of conflict of interest. I represent the beer, wine, and spirit wholesalers, and there are occasions where I represent licensees. And I don't want to find myself in a potential conflict of an interest if a licensee has a protest filed by the ANC. I'd find myself in a conflict of interest. As it's been explained to me, a organization, RHAMP, has been formed, which is a nonprofit organization. You'd have to ask that because I haven't been engaged yet. I've been told what the ultimate parameters are that this group wants to get advice on ABC law. So I'd be advising that association, that hospitality group.
The members of the board of RAMP are currently Heidi Vanegas, Neftali Vasquez, Steve Mudd, Barbara Hayden, and myself.
Any wholesalers?
No.
No.
Is there a problem with
nor have the wholesalers.
Is there a conflict? If you have a problem representing the ANC, how can Greg be on the board?
I'm not representing the ANC. The way I postulated the engagement letter was I'd be representing the hospitality group, and the hospitality group would authorize me to communicate with the ANC. In other words, we release me from the confidentiality rules that apply, because if I'm representing the hospitality group, I couldn't talk to anybody else unless I'm released. So as part of the engagement letter, I put in there that I'd be authorized to speak to the ANC if requested. But I would be clearly representing the hospitality group, and my wholesalers have not been asked, nor have they given anything to this hospitality group. There was a national hospitality group that was functioning in the District of Columbia a few years back where we didn't give any financial report, but I served on a committee.
I'm curious about Greg's conflict of interest because he's on the group that's voting to give this organization money and he's sitting on the board of that group.
I cleared that with Gottlieb Simon, and there is no conflict of interest.
That's my understanding.
And not specific issues.
Well, the representation could be about a specific case and how, what advice I would give or how
generic advice.
Well, I'm not entering my appearance in any
cases at the board.
Paul, let me suggest that I think we should concentrate our attention on the commissioners that are going to vote on this tonight. And we've had our public discussion period. I'm happy that we had some questions come up. But first, we should go through the and see to explain to the commissioners, because we have other items on our agenda. You said that you had to leave reasonably shortly, and I want to make sure that the commissioners are informed and their questions are answered first.
You are using ANC money to further your own
You're not.
Order, please.
You're not recognized.
I understand that, but that's what you're
It's not the case. Paul?
My expertise is in the area of ABC law, and I would be available to consult and give advice on issues that the hospitality group raises. And as I say, I put in the engagement letter, if I'm asked to give that same information, the confidentiality rules would be available that I could speak to the ANC upon request. But yes. I would be clearly representing RHAMP for my own professional issues in terms of a potential conflict of interest. I will say that the wholesalers in general encourage me to see that licenses are issued and also that the industry is healthy.
The wholesalers, I believe, are supporting the Responsible Hospitality Institute on a national and international basis.
Many of the wholesalers and many of the suppliers
you have not been recognized.
Many of the suppliers and manufacturers support the hospitality. The District of Columbia Association of Beverage Alcohol Wholesalers has not been called upon.
Have you read the bylaws of RAMP? Have you?
I haven't been engaged yet.
Okay, because I think you need to read the bylaws of RAMP to understand that the Responsible Hospitality Association as RAMP is not the same as what the RH.
It is not. Claudia, you're out of order.
I would be dealing.
So I request your respect for this.
Yeah. Other than serving as a committee member when the National Hospitality Group, I think the fellow's name was Peters, was operating in the city, I really haven't been involved with the National Hospitality Group. And I don't think they pulled out of the district, so I presume that that's why this local one was formed.
Yes. Let me start off and ask Jack McKay if he has questions and comments to make about the situation.
Yeah, my feeling about this is that we have been fumbling a lot on these alcohol issues. The law is very complicated, and I'm sure we have done things in less than the best fashion. So I'm happy to have Paul available as an advisor by whatever means is suitable. I think he will be very helpful to us. He'll be very helpful to the alcohol-oriented businesses of Mount Pleasant, because he is brings a great deal of expertise to this issue.
David.
Yeah, I have two questions in my mind. One, the issue of the ANC giving a huge sum of money, the largest in its history, to any neighborhood nonprofit group in such a quick way. The second is my concern about the separation of funder and recipient, in this case, the ANC and ANC commissioners from the RHAMP.
Okay, any other questions or comments?
I have some questions. I think you'd be a great asset to sort of clarify a lot of the things we've been muddling along in. But I share Dave's concerns. I think they're big concerns. I'm really concerned about the murkiness of Greg starting this group as you know, and being on the ANC, and then wanting this chunk of money from the ANC when there are other groups in the neighborhood that are also involved in this process. So I'm wondering if there's some way that the ANC can benefit from your counsel without committing this big chunk of money to this group. And I don't mean to put that on you.
I'll respond to that because I am counsel, and I'm also president of all the 10 beer, wine, and spirit wholesalers that I represent in the city. And I'm very careful how I spend their money. And candidly, over the last few years, we have been quite active in the ban on single sale issue. And I was involved in overturning then Council Member Fenty's ban on single sales in Ward 4, which, of course, now the United States Court of Appeals reversed. But we as an association spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in that litigation. So we're not in the position to go out and put money in and around the different ANCs. We do a lot of programs. As a matter of fact, many, many years ago, we as an association did some programs to help in this ANC, in this Mount Pleasant area, dealing with education. And the suppliers have a lot of programs with education. So I couldn't, in good faith, go back to my wholesalers and charge them for giving advice to any ANC, because if I then start to do it for this ANC, I would have to do it for all ANCs in the city. And like I said, I wanted to be very careful when I structured this, as I'm not representing this ANC, because there could become a day when that my clients could be adverse to some issue there. So they told me about RHAMP. We discussed it. I also called Simon, Gottlieb Simon also, because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't getting involved in anything that could cause either myself or the ANC a problem down the road.
Oliver.
And what did Gottlieb say? Gottlieb said everything.
Well, Gottlieb Simon advised me that ANCs can make grants to nonprofit groups, and that they're then a nonprofit group then could hire and pay.
I spoke with Gottlieb about it today to clarify issues, and he said that this is essentially this is a contract for legal services, and it is perfectly acceptable for us to do this.
Yeah, I think it's important that
as a contract.
I think it's important that it be a contract and not a grant.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because it's for specific services, and it means that at any point that the ANC is unhappy with this, then we can simply deliver a notice saying that the contract is stopped and the money, any money in escrow will be refunded.
Will you resign from the board of grants,
Greg? So all of this, there's no conflict of interest. And there is.
Well, so that's another question then. I didn't realize that this was a contract with the ANC. I thought it was a contract with RAMP.
No, it's a contract.
My contract is with RAMP, but how you fund it is between you and RAMP.
Yes.
Okay, so the contract is with RAMP.
This needs more public scrutiny. This should not be voted on tonight.
So the contract is with RAMP, and the money would be a grant. Is that right?
No, it's a contract. It states a contract.
The contract would be between the ANC and RAMP?
Yes.
What's
your contract? If you would, please. We are trying to do business here, and we cannot do it if we have to field this barrage of calls from the audience. We're in enough trouble with this. We're elected to do this. Let us do our job.
But we're not representing us.
Well, you can take care of that in orderly ways.
Apparently not. You're
taking over. Actually, this is a meeting of the ANC in public, not with the public. So you're welcome to listen. We've had our public discussion period, and that is over.
Yeah, you resigned the chair of once you started, not when you get $20,000 in the room.
That is hardly the case, but I will cease censoring you.
Yes, let's please continue our discussion.
Yes. Paul, Oliver, what are you thinking about this?
My question to the is that when you RAMP. Is RAMP a part of along the Mount Pleasant area? Is it in one business or one organization or a number of organizations?
I'm not fully conversant with RAMP because I haven't been retained yet, but I've been advised and informed that it's a nonprofit organization designed to foster business in the Mount Pleasant area.
He has been sent a copy of the materials, but without being retained, then he has not carefully read them.
But I understand what hospitality type groups are for.
This one has not had a meeting. There are lots of groups. This group has not.
Claudia, please.
These discussions have been going on for a long time. The ANC has been working on this for over a year, and we've had public meetings on this all along. This is an area where there are many people in the neighborhood that are of contrary opinions, as you can see, this approach has been supported by Negocios Unidos and several other civic associations, and there are some associations here that and groups that clearly oppose it. But it is in the interest. Let me say that this is a way for the ANC to get advice, and when I'm representative of the ANC for these proceedings, which I have been for about a year, I promise my other commissioners that any questions within reason and that are posed, well, then I will pass them on. So, but basically, we need this kind of advice because we're at the beginning now of the finale of these hearings. I've been told that they should be over by the end of March. There's an accelerated schedule. And if we're going to proceed, we need to have good legal advice to continue.
I'd like to hear from Jane and Dave on this.
I was wondering if you would be willing to resign either from the ANC or from RAMP, but it seems like a conflict to be a member of both, and I really think we're going to get ourselves. I mean, I wish that there must be another way that we can do this besides using a fledgling group where the person that started the nonprofit that's asking for a chunk of money from the ANC also sits on the ANC. There's got to be another way to do this. I just wish I had heard about it before. It's so controversial.
I have another question. Now, just looking at the language, it doesn't read, we're going to pay RAMP to engage a lawyer and his firm to provide legal advice and information upon request to RAMP. What's the rest of the sentence mean? From ANC1D's designated, what's from?
Okay, nothing's that from. Means request from the ANC1D's designated representative.
Upon request to RAMP.
Yes.
From a request from ANC1D's designated representative.
That's correct.
That's what it means. So ANC1D would ask RAMP to ask the lawyer a question.
And
is that what it means?
This satisfies all the legal barriers that are concerned. I think in practice it will go very fast.
So RAMP doesn't ask questions, it just passes them on.
From my perspective, RAMP will be asking the questions.
That's not what it says.
But that's not a contract that he is a party to. So this builds a firewall for conflict of interest issues.
Jane, use the microphone, please.
With your involvement and the protagonist of basically this nonprofit, it looks like a conflict of interest.
Let me point out that the question has been posed to Gottlieb Simon several times, and there is no conflict of interest on this. You're welcome to call him, but it is something that, for instance, Claudia Schlossberg has raised several times in the past, and I've told her what Gottlieb Simon said, and she could have called him direct. He's very.
I have another question. Does that really mean that the licensees, the distributors, cannot join RAMP?
Correct.
The licensees are invited to all join RAMP.
Well, the licensees have nothing to do with my retention.
Yes.
And my wholesalers have no intention to join RAMP.
But why wouldn't
they? Silence, please.
If it's supposed to be
Silence.
Yeah, because we, Ms. Collins and everybody else here, my association doesn't join other groups.
No, but your clients do. You used to represent the sportsmen.
Oliver?
If we could continue our discussion, please.
Oliver, it appears that we have, as things now stand, we have... that you would be the swing vote on this, so that it's...
isn't the case. The conversation isn't over. There are just so many things that...
So I'm asking you, do you have questions and other... I want to make sure that you're involved and that your issues are considered. And I apologize if I'm being pressing for you to become a participant earlier than you would have been comfortable for, but this, for those of us who've been working on this for a year, this gets to be pretty important.
Greg, if I may.
Yes, Jack.
Yeah. Simons, please. I wish we had a sergeant at arms so we could remove some people.
Look,
I am Jeremy. Jeremy, you are out of order.
You're out of order.
Let me continue. I am.
The rules, the acting chair rules that you're out of order, Jeremy. Please keep quiet.
I am uncomfortable with this procedure, and I really want to get Paul Pascal's advice here, because we need some good expert advice on ABC law and procedure, because I think we have made some mistakes for lack of that kind of advice. Unfortunately, this vehicle seems to be quite problematical. It seems to be, the ramp seems to be a device to isolate us, but it doesn't really. That is, it seems to be a device for us to fund Paul Pascal, because we could not do this directly, and I'm not happy with such an arrangement. And in addition, we have a rather appalling amount of money involved. I think on the whole it would be better if we would, I realize the time pressure here, I think it may be best, however, to table this for further consideration. And I would make a motion to that effect to table this until the next meeting.
I have a question. The next meeting, is that going to be in 2 weeks? Because the hearings are coming up and we have time sensitive.
Well, this is the problem. I would table this until the February meeting.
Well,
I would move at this time to table this until the February meeting.
I was hoping to get advice and help in the representation of the ANC.
Greg? We need a second to my motion and then a discussion of that
okay,
motion.
Okay, is there a second? Yes, there is a second.
May I speak? I have a question. Is there a means to set up another intermediary group, which would be not the ANC and not RAMP, that would be able to do this?
I don't know how to do this. I just don't know how to do this. Well,
the short answer to your dilemma is to find another attorney that doesn't have the conflict that I have. I mean, that's the short answer. I was asked to make myself available. I put forth the method that I was comfortable with. If the ANC is not comfortable, so be it. But the only other avenue would be to find another attorney that represents ANCs, and I don't know who they are out there. The ABC bar is somewhat limited. There is one lawyer that actively represented a lot of ANCs, but I think he's left the area now.
You're a great attorney, Paul.
Yeah.
You're an absolute great attorney.
Well, thank you.
Very respected in the city.
Yeah.
This really thing right here is a very strong conflict.
Well,
in so many ways.
I didn't come here this evening thinking that this was...
You had no idea.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't come here this evening thinking that this would be a simple issue, and I was very careful in my discussions to make sure that I didn't put myself in a position, because life is too short. But, you know, I am an attorney. Attorneys carry hard burdens, you know, and I once was told by someone that if I didn't agree with him, I'd be in an adversarial position. Well, I've spent my whole career being an adversary. So I'm here tonight because there was a methodology to do it. But it's up to the ANC to make up its mind. But I think short of finding some other attorney that's experienced in ABC law that represents ANCs on a regular basis, knowing what the ABC bar is out there, you may have a difficult time finding someone that's really conversant with the law. It's a very unique law. I mean, it's, you know... you know, post-prohibition, every state had the right to make their own laws on ABC laws, and they're different in many states, and D.C. in some respects is similar, and many respects unique. And it's, and you know, the additional issue in the District of Columbia is the nature of the protest processes.
But let me say that a number of us have been working pretty hard to try to find attorneys, and we've talked to quite a few. And the only one that is experienced that people have come up with that represents occasionally ANCs is already taken by one of the civic associations. So in fact, the one represented by Laurie Collins. And so we have so this left us and as Paul has been involved in making suggestions, so has been many of the other members of the alcohol bar, and this honestly was the best thing that we could come up with, and we don't have a lot of time, and I think we need to get legal help. Jack first, then Jane.
Okay. Briefly, I really think we need Paul's advice on this, and there seems to be no substitute. I mean, this is what we have to do. But being forced to do this through RAMP seems to be the problem. If we could contract with him directly, I'd be perfectly. I'd vote for this
but,
without.
But as I explained to Richard, I can't do that.
But I'm stuck, and that's why I'm moving that this be tabled while we try to think and see if there is a better way to do this, or if this process really stands up. I didn't like the suggestion in there that Gottlieb would consider this to be a grant, because grants bring a whole separate battery of requirements. So I don't want it to be a grant.
He misspoke, because when I spoke, it was clear it was a contract, and the reason is that it was better as a contract.
So this is a...
I think I spoke to Gottlieb before he spoke to Gottlieb.
Yes. I spoke with him a little after 6 today. So it has been clarified. Jane?
Well, I was just wondering if the ostensible or apparent conflict is that you're a member of both organizations, would you be willing to step down from one or the other to let this process move forward in a less...
I would like to... My argument is, in fact, it allows me to then make the transition very quickly, because... I could be the representative for both RAMP and the ANC, and that way there would be a seamless transition through the system with the ANC looking over my shoulder all the time. And so there is to be an advantage in this.
Yeah, I agree with Jane that is the, you know, wow, the obvious thing, that there is no separation here.
I think you should take that under advisement, Craig, that it would... clarify the situation a great deal.
Let me say that if the ANC would agree to go forward with this contract tonight, then I would recuse myself from these considerations with RAMP.
That's not the same as resigning.
Use the microphone, Jane, please.
Yes. Recusing yourself is not the same as resigning from the board.
Well, I don't see why the argument is that I would have to resign from that board.
Well, we've all made the arguments tonight. It appears to be a conflict of interest, undue influence, you can name it.
Well, then I will change my stance and say that if the ANC went forward with this at this point, then upon the passage of this and the writing of the check, I would promptly resign from RAMP.
Would that be satisfactory, Jane? Would that resolve the issue in your mind?
So you wouldn't be a member of RAMP?
What?
You would resign as a member of RAMP?
No, as a board member. I'd still be an ordinary dues-paying member.
I don't know.
And if you wish, I'll resign as an ordinary member at this point, too. But that's... If that's the barrier, then I will remove the barrier.
Order, please. There is a motion on the floor to table this until the February meeting.
We are still in discussion. Jane, do you have an answer to my offer?
No, I really don't.
So I provided an accession to your suggestion, and it does not. And does it clarify things? Okay. Yes, Oliver.
I think the issue should be tabled in the next meeting. We have to look into it very carefully, and then.
Silence, please. Silence. Be here all night.
Yeah, probably we need somebody who has legal expertise to interpret what is here. That's my opinion, actually.
What is the timeline for the process, for the hearings?
Well, we have a mediation hearing on the 17th, I believe. And so I'd like to, Jack, would you be willing to change your tabling to a special meeting in a week, and so that we would have time to think about it and come back, and yet have a chance to have advice for the when we get into the real hurly-burly of things?
No, I don't think 1 week is sufficient for us to resolve these questions.
2 weeks?
February meeting, please. Let's vote it on as I posed it, tabling to the February meeting.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, let's vote on this motion to table. Jack?
Votes yes to table.
Dave, yes.
Jane, use the microphone, please.
Yes.
Yes.
And I vote no. So we move to the... It appears to me that we have voted to table this. Thank you, Paul, for your presence. And I appreciate not only this,
thank
but
you,
also
Paul. Thank
all
you
of
coming.
Your work for the last month in trying to find an attorney. It's been a lot of time. Thank you so much.
Good to meet all of you.
It's now...
Hanging on the wall in my office, an old sign that my son found up here that says Mount Pleasant Auto Transit. And by the nature of the sign, it's back to the teens of the 20s. So I'm not too certain what company it was.
You take a photo and send it to us.
It's too big to bring up here. So. All right, I'll take a picture.
It is now 8:43. Thanks again for coming. It's now 8:43. Jack, let's. There is a.
Well, I think the next issue would be Dave's resolution, would it not?
Yes. But would you look at my abbreviated schedule so that...
Well, big pardon.
It's up at the top so I can see. Is there anything else that... because in these things, it's easy to forget what's going on.
Yeah, really.
It appears to me that the only major piece that is remaining then is Dave's piece for withdrawal and protest.
Okay.
That's Jack's title. That's certainly not my title, because it's certainly not withdrawal of protest.
Well, it's... Okay. What would you like to call it, Dave? I mean, I don't care.
Do we have to have a title?
It helps.
Yes, yes. But in any case...
We could say it's called voluntary agreements.
Are you ready to make the motion, Dave?
Yes, I would like to make this motion. Shall I read it or what?
Yeah, that's customary, at least the resolution form.
ANC1D will ensure that all of its voluntary agreements are truly voluntary on the part of business owners and will withdraw any ANC1D protest of any Mount Pleasant liquor license application, liquor license renewal, or entertainment endorsement if the business owner does not voluntarily accept the voluntary agreement.
Is there a second?
Jane seconds.
Jane seconds, okay. Then customarily we allow the proposer to make an opening statement.
All right. This is my second year as a commissioner, and this year I intend to do a little more work in reaching out to hear all sides of all arguments. And I have had constituents on, and there's more than two sides, all sides of this question come to me and talk to me in the street and talk to me by email from opposing groups, from groups that are on different sides of the different issues, all saying, why are we protesting these businesses that we are the only ones protesting them, and there's really no point to it. They don't want to be protested. We shouldn't do it. Especially if we were protesting that the other groups were using coercive methods to get people to sign their voluntary agreements. And my question is this a matter of principle or degree? Are we coercive? Are we any different from the people we were calling coercive? So I think the ANC should take the high road and make the voluntary agreements truly voluntary.
Jack.
Yeah, this is a tough issue to be sure. We started off down this path really wanting to promote Mount Pleasant businesses and relieve the obligations and burdens of the existing voluntary agreements. Unfortunately, here we are. Now, the issue here is basically the non-live music restaurants, because the ones that want live music are already involved in the, or clearly have our support, because they are fighting to have their existing voluntary agreements terminated. The issue here is the other restaurants, which don't want live music or seem not to want much live music, seem to be content to stay with the MPNA voluntary agreement and seem to object to a second voluntary agreement. And that's where I get into a funny kind of question. The voluntary agreement we wrote was designed to be a minimal burden, a minimal obligation to these businesses. It was designed to be the sort that they could sign up to without hesitation. Andrew Klein did want some changes. We gave him those changes. He wanted two changes. We ratified those changes at the December meeting. After the next ABC board meeting, much to my surprise, he was still not ready to accept our voluntary agreement, and he wanted another change. And on the spot, I said, yes, give him what he wants, because I know the sentiment of this ANC is to bring this to a close. We didn't want to be a burden to these restaurants. So we went on the spot. Greg at the time asked me, shouldn't we, if we're going to change another term of the voluntary agreement, have this approved by the ANC? And I said, we will assume that the ANC will go along with it, because I understand that the ANC wants this to come to a close. So we granted him this third concession on the spot. And I fully expected Andrew Klein to go away and come back with signed voluntary agreements, and this whole thing would be over.
We thought within the hour.
And it didn't happen. It didn't happen. There are funny things going on, and I don't understand what is going on behind the scenes. But we have given them everything they ask for. We've got a voluntary agreement which is extremely modest. The existing voluntary agreement with the MPNA continues in force. What difference does it make to a restaurant if they have another mild voluntary agreement on top of the existing onerous one? Because as the ABC board will make clear, the more restrictive voluntary agreement is the one which applies. Ours is almost inconsequential. So I continue then to ask the restaurant owners, what's the problem? Why don't you just sign this and make this whole thing go away? If you want the process to come to an end, sign our voluntary agreement, done deal. It doesn't happen.
There are things going on behind the scenes which I do not understand. But I'm, at this point, feeling that what's going on behind the scenes is working to the advantages of these businesses. That if the lawyer is not having them sign the voluntary agreements and just turn them over right to us, it's because good things are coming as a result of this. And I hear this from other sources. So I'm inclined to say, let's keep it up. There is no good reason at this point for withdrawing our protests. Our voluntary agreement, which we have asked them to sign, is evidently acceptable to the lawyer. It applies no great additional burdens. It should be a triviality for the restaurant owners to sign up to a voluntary agreement and proceed. We are not holding any licenses hostage because they've got their liquor licenses. They're continuing in the operation. Why not just sign our VA and end it? So I am inclined to say we should continue with the existing process until they do, because it is working out, I think, to their advantage. And in the end, it is appropriate for us to have all of these restaurants working together within this responsible hospitality group, because this isn't just about live music. The problems that we have on the street aren't just associated with live music. There are problems which are associated with alcohol, which has nothing to do with live music. So we should have all the organizations participating in RAMP. It farms, it provides a great way for the neighborhood to resolve problems at the neighborhood level, for the business to talk to the residents to talk to the business, and end this wall of hostility which tends to exist, and basically deal with problems in a much more civilized and local manner, as opposed to calling in inspectors every time that there's a problem. So I see no good reason at this point for withdrawing our protests. I am inclined to continue them, and if the restaurant owners can't explain to me what they want changed at this point about our proffered voluntary agreement, then the negotiation has to work both ways. We have made numerous concessions to Andrew Klein. We have moderated our voluntary agreement so that it should be perfectly acceptable. And at this point, nobody can tell me what's wrong with what remains. So I see no good reason for withdrawing it at this time. Thank you.
Jane, you can ask. You can either make comments or even, and also lead the discussion and ask questions.
Yeah, I guess just for clarification for the public, what the existing voluntary agreements that prevail over these businesses right now, what are they comprised of? Could you just synopsize and then compare them with the ANC one? Because everything seems to be presented in a negative way. If there are constraints on businesses, all right, and constraints on culture in the neighborhood, then there has to be what's called a negative act to lift those restraints. So it's sort of like the terminology gets reversed, and there seems to be a lot of scare tactics going on in the neighborhood. So I would just like to ask what the existing, whether it's the MPNA, I'm guessing it is, what those constraints are and what ours are in comparison, and then how did the original one get written with such constraints? I just don't understand how this whole thing started. And I think I think the public needs to know how this process has gotten underway, because it's just tearing the neighborhood apart. So, and we're so embroiled in the process that we forget exactly what the agreements are. So I think if the public maybe hears what the agreements are, they'll understand a little better what this ANC is fighting for or trying to represent. Can anybody speak to that?
Well, the central issue, the most inflammatory issue, has been this simple question of live music. The basic MPNA voluntary agreement prohibits all live music, cover charges, and dancing, and has been extended to include live entertainment, to object to karaoke as well as live music. This has been changed recently, so the situation got quite complicated. So now there is some allowance for live music. Now, I think this comes about as a consequence of these activities over the past several months, that the terms of the MPNA voluntary agreement have been moderated. And that now, well, the most recent voluntary agreement is that with Marlene's, which still bans everything, no live music, etc. The voluntary agreement with
Mark's has been substantially moderated. Initially, it was to permit 3 hours of live music on Sundays and 2 hours of live music 12 times a year on special occasions.
Wait,
and
12 times a year?
Well, let me finish because that's changed. I understand that most recently that has been extended to be once a week.
How do these things come about? Who is the protagonist to decide these decrees that are held on these businesses? I don't understand this process at all.
Jane,
I don't understand it.
Jane, do you wish to?
You don't live here now, but I would like to know how.
Jane, do you wish to entertain a comment from the audience?
Well, let me ask this.
Jack to,
Laurie Collins,
it?
Are you a state actor? Are you? Do you represent the government in any way?
The government?
No, come on. I just have some above board questions that I want to know because I'm curious. It's not about.
The chair calls the meeting to order, and that means that. Jane,
have a question about
Neighborhood Alliance. We negotiated the voluntary agreements with the establishment.
And when was that?
The chair calls this meeting to order.
Matter. I think
in order to ask questions from the audience, the whole commission must
are you
must
a state actor?
Open this. And so I ask, is there
the
any sentiment
to
on the commission
anyone?
To allow Mrs. Collins, Mrs.
Then
McGee,
what is
to,
your interest
answer.
In I, these prevailing agreements?
Jane,
what is
Jane,
your interest
Jane,
and what is your personal stake?
Jane,
you don't
Jane,
live in the neighborhood.
Jane,
I want to know what your personal
Jane,
stake
I
is.
I call you to order.
I'm sorry.
I call you to order.
I'm curious.
Is there a... Do I hear...
Claudia,
do
what
I
is
hear
your interest? Do you live in the neighborhood?
Ms. Collins, there's kids in here.
Do I hear from the commission a motion to allow... a comment from the audience.
I would move that we grant Laurie Collins and only Laurie Collins an opportunity to speak.
For 3 minutes or 2 minutes?
For 3 minutes.
For 3 minutes. Okay. I would second that motion. Dave, what say you? 3 minutes. Jane, 3 minutes for Laurie Collins?
She hasn't been
okay.
I've had a few specific questions about the process.
There's a motion on the floor to allow her to 3 minutes.
Okay.
Do you vote
about
for that?
Her undue influence in this process.
Do you vote for that? Yes. Oliver?
Yes.
Okay. The commission has voted for 5-0 to allow Laurie Collins to speak for 3 minutes.
First and foremost, the motion on the table right now is to whether or not this ANC is going to drop the protests against the four establishments that do not care to... No, you don't understand that. I have the floor. Can you
We're never an insider
me?
With Abra, but we do understand it.
Jane, you know, I call you to order.
First
Let her
of
speak.
All, I feel that you should leave these four businesses alone.
You feel that?
Yes, I do. I feel because I have a right to feel.
Okay,
what I feel.
Right.
Jane,
shut up, please.
Point of order.
We're talking about your standing
Jane,
in the neighborhood.
Jane, please respect
group,
the other,
right?
your other commissioners. Yes.
Jeremy here has spent $20,000 because of the ANC. And he has spent $20,000 in... excuse me.
And why is that? Why has he
because
spent $20,000?
Because the ANC is protesting them. Put your
protesting
energy...
Protesting what?
Put your energy...
Protesting
yeah, what?
What? Tell me. Finish
Tell
the sentence.
Tell me what you're protesting.
$20,000 to protest what?
The chair
I
declares this meeting is out of order, and so we must...
Let
us start over again.
$20,000 for a lawyer at this
Let me,
point.
Let me, Jack.
You protested me.
Jack,
protested okay. what?
If
Jack,
you could, if
you
would. Jeremy.
Jeremy. I have to hire a lawyer to defend my liquor
Jack,
license, which is
let me. I would like to, on an informal basis, I would like to make a motion that we recognize Laurie Collins for 3 minutes to answer a question, not to make a general statement. Please.
Her
all right,
Jack,
you're all in favor of that motion.
We are creating a voluntary agreement this year.
Jack,
James.
Yes.
Protesting you.
Dave,
because her will prevail.
James, do you approve the motion on the floor?
Why should her will prevail? Why should your will prevail?
Jane abstains. Oliver, how do vote you? That we offer Ms. Collins 3 minutes to answer a specific question with the idea she will be ruled out of order if she does not is not answering that question. Is that okay with you?
Nobody's got a
liquor license.
So we now have a motion, and I would like to for 3 minutes ask Jane Zara to pose one or two questions to Lori Collins, which then Lori will answer, and I will call her to order if she gets too far off. But we will give her a good respect in case she needs to lead up to it a little bit. Do you have questions for her?
Regarding these legal fees, I'm really sorry to hear about them. If the MPNA existing voluntary agreements weren't in place, what would you do?
That to me?
Yes. No, that is to the person who said he's spending a lot of money because of the ANC.
This is the owner of Tonic and Radius, by the way.
Yeah, have not yet formulated your question.
If the existing constraints weren't in place, what would you do when you applied for a liquor license?
You have another question as well, so we can give the time to them. Okay, so we have a question on the floor.
I'm not sure that I understand
and,
the question.
And Jeremy, you have not been recognized. Lori Collins, by vote of the commission, has been recognized.
So am I supposed to answer this question?
No.
Yes.
Yes or no?
You are welcome to...
Lori Collins, if your existing voluntary agreements, which constrain live music beyond belief, weren't in place,
your opinion,
and you weren't influencing the owner of this business, what would he do? I'm sure you couldn't answer that because without your influence,
Jane,
you wouldn't
I
know.
Call you to order.
The
commission is
if
providing you with a.
If the constraints weren't in place and
Jane,
you were to write a voluntary agreement, what would it?
Give
would
me one
it? Please respect
emotion.
The commissioners and Laura and Collins, who is a respected long-term activist in this community and deserves respect.
Jane,
please address a question to her with shorn of all the accusations. If you have a clear question, she is very knowledgeable. She has a lot that she could teach us all, and I think it's only right that we give her a chance to answer a clear question.
I just would like to know that, but maybe someday.
Okay.
My question to you, Lori Collins, is why are you so involved in the voluntary agreement process? Is there something in your history with the government or something? Why do you have this crusade?
Okay. I am the president of the Mount Pleasant Neighborhood Alliance, Jane. I have been president of the Mount Pleasant Alliance, and I have been a member and active to this community for almost 20 years. That is why I'm involved with things, not only voluntary agreements, but other things in our neighborhood, like Operation Live Link, trash, all sorts of things. So
this is particular
alcohol,
to the voluntary.
Yeah. So alcohol. Yeah. Yeah. And I served 3 years on the ABC board, so I'm very. I know the law very well. Okay. Good. Next question.
And what is your vested interest in keeping constraints on the live music in this neighborhood? I'm very curious about that.
My vested interest is
You can forget vested. That's against her instructions.
My interest is to fulfill my position as president of the Mount Pleasant Neighborhood Alliance and the needs and desires of our membership.
I need some clarity here.
Okay.
I've read the articles of incorporation.
Except for the steering committee.
We're getting some clear questions.
Yeah,
so let's please, everybody.
The article, I've read the documents
progress.
In your group, and
it takes
I realize
a while.
You're the one that formed it, whatever.
Please restate your
question.
No,
actually, I'm not the one
that formed it. Silence!
It seems that the bylaws or articles of incorporation say that no member.
Yes.
I'm wondering if there's a vetting process here in this organization.
Okay.
No member can speak unless they get the okay from the board.
What does that mean? Okay.
I don't know. What does that mean?
Okay.
Do you represent the constituents broadly in Mount Pleasant?
Okay. Like historic Mount Pleasant, like Main Street, like probably always Mount Pleasant. Everybody has board members. Okay, that are elected by the membership at the annual meeting. You know, they serve for 4 years on MPNA.
4 year terms.
Yes, 4 year terms. Just like you all, 2 year terms, we have 4 year terms.
Yeah, but we're Democratic.
You're out of
we
order.
Are also voted on by the membership. Okay. At that point, then we have board meetings, just like you have ANC meetings. Okay? And decisions are made by the board, just like they are on Main Street. Excuse me? Just like they are, yeah, based on feedback from our membership. We have memberships, people in our membership that, you know, have different, absolutely different views than you personally.
Is there a vetting to the membership?
Pardon me?
Is there a vetting to the membership?
Of course. We have monthly meetings. Yeah, we have monthly meetings.
By vetting, I think she means do you filter and accept some members and not others?
Yes. We get feedback from members and non-members.
No, but is there a vetting to who can be a member of your group?
It's open to everyone.
Okay.
And do you represent, does your zeal for these constraints on music represent the broad membership of your group?
Yes, it
and
does.
And does the broad membership of your group represent the neighborhood?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Just like you do. Exactly like the ANC does. Just like it. Yeah.
Now,
thank you.
Since this has gone on for about 10 minutes.
Do you live in the neighborhood?
And,
no, I don't. Do you have a problem with that?
And in the interest of fair play.
Do you have a problem
with
Main Street? Main Street's board doesn't live in the neighborhood. Do you have a problem with that?
Would the commission allow...
Steering committee of HMP...
Laurie, your time is at an end.
Doesn't live in the neighborhood.
Would the commission permit 3 minutes to Alberto and to Don Jaime each? Jack, would you second that, or would you support 3 minutes to Don Jaime? So we hear from the other side, Don Jaime and Alberto Farafino.
If I could divert quickly. Jane's question was, what's in the existing voluntary agreements?
Yes.
And how restrictive? And I just happened to bring up an addendum to the MPNA voluntary agreement for Radius, which I've just indicates the sort of constraints that are imposed. Live entertainment is allowed, but only for specific hours, and at a volume level that allows patrons to talk at a conversational level. It's very restrictive.
Jack, would you allow me just 1 second? Is this the current addendum that...
I have no idea. I can't see it.
Should I read it?
We recently did a comparison of all 7 agreements. Laurie assured me that we had the most current... We will get it posted up on our website.
All right.
The point very simple, is that there are restrictions, and if Radius is content with those restrictions, fine. Our voluntary agreement has no restrictions. What this means, since both of them will be applicable, this is the constraint which will apply, and ours is academic.
Would the commission? I asked if the commission were interested in hearing from the other side on this, namely a shorter period of time. I think it will be less rambunctious from Alberto and Don Jaime. Is the commission interested in that? And I also would like, I have not myself made a statement on this and would like, because I've been involved perhaps for the ANC most continuously and at huge amounts of time, and would like to report on my understanding as well. But for the moment, would the commission permit us to hear very briefly from Alberto and Farofino and from Don Jaime? Because they are amongst the most... is that a yes, Jack?
I approve, sure.
Is that a yes, Dave? Jane? Oliver?
Yes.
Okay.
Lettuce
first? Do we have a microphone so that we can hear Don Jaime?
The constraints that are on his business.
Okay, Don Jaime, you're up for 3 minutes.
You are disingenuous.
Don't leave, Ms. Collins.
Are you leaving?
Please, I call the meeting to order. Order.
For your voluntary agreement. Do they represent you?
Please, Jane.
I know that.
Please, Jane, let's respect everybody here. Don Jaime.
Thank you. Well, I have my business for more than 10 years here. It's impressive that Mark Cafe has a different voluntary agreement than mine. Mars Cafe can have a 12 live performance and more than 100 times live entertainment if we consider DJs live entertainment. I don't think that's fair. I cannot have any live entertainment. I cannot have live entertainment in my place.
At all.
At all. I cannot. Because the voluntary agreement.
And who wrote that agreement?
Laurie Collins.
May I interrupt just with your permission, Don, honey? Ms. Collins has written extensively that she is willing to accord, she supports live entertainment. Her organization does. When I say her, I mean I would like to speak respectfully for MPNA, because I personally believe that she is representing a substantial and well-considered part of the neighborhood in her approach. But she says that her organization is awaiting approach from the current licensees, and that she supports live entertainment, and it's just a matter of working out something on a reasonable basis. Is that your experience?
No, I really would like to terminate the voluntary agreement that I have with Mount Pleasant right now, Alliance, because there's a group that has always against us. They put so much restriction in the voluntary agreement, like trash pickup for 7 days, which my business doesn't produce too much trash to be picked up 7 days a week. So I don't think that was fair. I wait for too long already to try to survive. I live in the neighborhood. My kids were born here, and they grew up here. They went to school here. I think it's fair only to us to terminate the voluntary agreement.
Thank you. Don Alberto.
Hello, good evening. My name is Alberto Ferrufino, and thank you for the opportunity again to go with everybody. I'm also totally agree with terminating this voluntary agreement, because like I'm telling for years and years, that's a normal voluntary agreement. That's an unfortunate agreement, because that's the wrapper they're using for protesting our election when we don't sign it. Also, I mean, I'm sorry because Ms. Collins left, but I want to tell him the answer. You know, I don't know why she crying now for his friend spend $20,000. She make me spend with the MPNA group $100,000 with the legal services, only because they protest my license about the pain, about the garbage, about live music. She's in a danger in our neighborhood. I'm very happy because she left. But the other thing is, I want to say she only craving enemies when she's living in our neighborhood. Because now, you know, I remember when she used to live in our neighborhood and she was quiet. You know, she have him all the time walking with his little dog. Everybody say, hi, Miss Coley. We hug with her, and then she started changing. I don't know what her problem. But, you know, we are here to working with our neighborhood. We want to tell the people buy a house near to our business, welcome to Mount Pleasant. We want to support them. Anytime they have a problem for our business, just call us, let us know how we can resolve the problem. And we're going to say again, they are welcoming to our neighborhood. We're there for 25 years, and we don't want to say, you know, people don't want it. We want people coming to Mount Pleasant so we can have a more neighbor and more customer. Thank you very much.
I would like to ask the commission's indulgence to have two more, and that would leave me time to actually talk with the commission about my experience, which has been certainly a huge amount of time.
Well, I hope the further testimony is about the motion on the floor.
Yes. Well. But this is. I ask the commission to allow a rejoinder from the other side of many of these issues, and then move on to the president, our chair of Negocios Unidos, to get their point of view of why they have been supporting the ramp process. Is that okay? And let's cut it to 2 minutes now.
The resolution at hand has nothing to do with the ramp process.
All right. But it is of why it applies to whether we support this or not. With permission, can I now recognize Haiti?
We could have elephants and dancing girls. It doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with my resolution, but go right ahead.
Jack, what do you say?
Yes.
Jane.
I think it's important. Haiti is also.
Okay.
I think it's important to see how much money they've spent on these.
Haiti, how many? You have 3 minutes,
can
Haiti.
Can I answer first?
You can divide it between you two.
My name is Mario from Heidi's Restaurant. I'm also president of Negocios Unidos. I want to answer. I hear you ask Ms. Lori's question. What will we do if we don't have an agreement? Well, we couldn't do anything else. We have to stick with it. We have to sign it because we cannot get a license. We spent a year finding her. Spent more than a year. It was a year and a half, 2 years. We spent hundreds of thousands of dollars. So we have to sign her agreement. That's how we end up. And for Greg, she's promoting live music. Yes, he came to us once, and she said she's willing to give us Sunday's lunchtime music. What we will do with that? Will you dance in the lunchtime? No, we can't. Thank you.
All right. And then I would like to respect Dave Bosserman's point that we need to move this on. The meeting is becoming very long. And Heidi, yes. You were dividing the time. Sorry, Heidi.
Maybe I just need a 2 minute. 100% negocios unidos, and my idea is how we come together and united, because I have a lot of respect for everyone who is here, and we deserve respect and better life. I'm here for 20 years. I know each other for a long time. Some are my customers, and we need something better. We apply for live music on a responsible basis. We don't want to make all the noise. And I would like to work with all my Latino business, try to work together, because we got a language communication. And my best, I hope we can get what we want. We deserve something better.
Thank you. Every one of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now, because we're going to, I think we're going to tire soon. I wonder if the commission would allow me to be the, to put in my, at the end. Unless Oliver, you have something. I'm sorry, I should go to you. The acting chair should speak last.
Okay, I would like just to add how, what agreement is attached to this. Who is Laurie to write that voluntary agreement and then make these people to stick to it? Can't that voluntary agreement be terminated voluntarily?
No.
Why not?
That's why we are in front of ABRA.
Why don't you, would you please address, first of all, to the commissions. In order for the audience to speak, our rules are that we must authorize them to do so. Otherwise, the meeting, as you see, will devolve into chaos.
That's right. Have the commissioners at a point tried to talk with the lady?
Miss Laurie Collins.
Miss Laurie. To terminate the voluntary agreement.
Yes.
May I answer that?
Sure.
I've talked with many of those, and perhaps I can give a little background. First, they say that many of them say that they appreciate what we're doing because they are forced to act like they are opposed to what the ANC is doing, and the reason why that as Jack points out, they have no specific objections. And it fundamentally gets down to this, and that is that there is still a very good chance, especially if we can get good legal help, that we will be able to overthrow the previous voluntary agreement, which is very restrictive. And it depends upon a finding that the neighborhood has substantially changed in the last 12 and 6 years since it was imposed. So I think the primary reason behind all of this is why some of the people, not all the people are here for that, of why they want the ANC to back out is because the ANC, with its great weight, can be used, number one, to pressure negotiations with the current holder of MPNA, and that has been corroborated by several of the licensees. And secondly, there is still a strong chance that we will be able to overthrow all the entire voluntary agreement and to substitute a cooperative agreement, which is different, that is minimal. And it is the reason for all this ruckus behind this in the neighborhood is because there is a great fear that we will be able to throw out all or most of the voluntary agreement and replace it with a cooperative agreement that is actually cooperative. So To get specifically to your answer, there are some that say, some merchants have told me that that when it looked like the ANC's cooperative agreement was making progress, for the first time in their experience, they were able to talk and begin negotiations with Lori Collins. And as soon as it looked like the ANC might back down, those negotiations ceased. And so it is only the pressure. So I surmise, I conclude that it is only the pressure that we are putting on them that is the case.
Claudia.
And that, we know the... So therefore, that's why I'm in back of continuing a cooperative agreement process that has minimum approaches, minimum constraints, but does invite people to engage in a cooperative process that has worked all over this country.
May I say something, Greg?
Yes.
I, too, am in favor of cooperative and voluntary agreements. All tonight we've been talking about coercive agreements. And what I'm positing here, what I'm asking, is that the ANC stand up and be counted as against coercive agreements. If they can devise an agreement the business owner sees as advantageous, then that business owner will sign it. If not, not. So to have a bad agreement, unable to get anyone to sign, and to use pressure tactics and coercion for getting them to sign is being exactly like everybody else we've been criticizing. So I'm saying all we should do is say that our voluntary agreements will be truly voluntary.
Dave, that started off as a question and ended up as a restatement of your argument, but let me address it. Indeed, one of the licensees wrote a letter to the ABC board saying they prefer the ANC cooperative agreement to the MPNA voluntary agreement.
Which restaurant?
And within a very short time, perhaps minutes, someone at the ABC board of its delivery, somebody at the ABC board, apparently called Ms. Collins, because Lori Collins then called the licensee. And the next morning visited him, and that person told me that he had to withdraw it because he came to understand that he was facing unlimited months of unlimited chaos if he did not go along with it. So the primary answer is that they're essentially in a place like Mount Pleasant, there must be either voluntary or cooperative agreements. And so we had a year of meetings with often with 40 people, with almost all of the licensees present, and there was a unanimous agreement to go for a form that we have adopted.
Well,
and
I
by
think
putting
you're missing
that
the
in,
whole point
excuse
here.
Me, Dave.
Well, excuse me, please. You're missing the whole very point here. This has nothing to do with withdrawing all of your agreements. This only says if it is unwelcome, we should withdraw it. If we can fix it, come back, and they can sign it, fine. But if it's unwelcome, we are putting ourselves in exactly the same position we say the Mount Pleasant Neighborhood Alliance is in by using coercion. We don't have to use coercion.
Dave, it's a matter, as you said earlier, it's partially a matter of degree. Rationality is about ratios. Our cooperative agreement is de minimis. And the amount of time that's involved in this is de minimis, comparatively. By having it there, though, and it poses an opportunity for people that are under coercion to act like and to testify like they want out when they actually tell us behind the scenes that they want it. And therefore, by having something that is de minimis, we actually create a situation where we can finally move our strip forward in a cooperative way. Jack.
Yeah, again,
We've made all the concessions that Andrew Klein, the lawyer, asked. It's a mystery to me why the restaurant owners don't just sign this and make the whole thing go away. Because and they won't even explain to us why they object to this second voluntary agreement on top of the existing voluntary agreement. I just don't understand this, which is why I see no good reason for withdrawing at this time.
Is there any further discussion in the commission?
No.
I would just like to stress that I don't know how this vote's going to go. I know how I'm going to vote, but I'm completely in agreement with Dave Bosserman's sentiments about lack of coercion. I just wish that everyone who's in the public would also, you know, search their souls and actually feel that way too, so that one party won't prevail to coerce another party into doing something that they don't want to do to cut. I mean, there are a lot of businesses that have cost a lot of money doing this, so I think we should all think about it no matter what side of the fence we're on, about the welfare of the businesses too. And I just wish everyone who's a protagonist in this process were also in the room, but unfortunately...
And I join with Jack in saying what we've offered is not much coercion. It's like a feather stroke by
comparison. I call the vote. I call the vote.
Okay. Oliver, do you have something else, a question or a statement? Okay. Jack.
Voting on the resolution at hand, Dave's resolution, I will vote no.
Dave,
yes.
I vote yes.
Oliver. What?
No, you cannot have a question this time. You must vote. Please use the microphone and vote.
I'll say yes.
And I vote no. Oliver, you can still change your vote, you know.
Oh, no.
Again, Greg, that's undue influence as a chair.
Before it's declared. No.
Greg, really, this is...
All right.
No, this is coercion.
I'd like to say something, Greg, if I could. I don't think that this changes anything.
You don't think it's what? You don't think... I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, Jack.
I don't think this changes anything.
Okay.
Or any compromise of the ANC's support of lifting the ban of live music. It shouldn't be viewed as that.
At this point, I move that we adjourn the meeting.
The motion has been made, and I second to adjourn the meeting. Dave?
Yes.
Jane?
Yes.
Oliver?
Yes.
Okay. 5-0, we adjourn. Yeah.